Right now, as I look out my window, a frozen landscape is greeting me and looking deceptively beautiful. Ice crystals are blanketing the evergreens and glistening in the sunlight, which is barely giving enough warmth to reach a double-digit temperature. And while there are hardy, winter-loving people who are probably frolicking in the snow under today's clear blue skies, I'm enjoying the view without venturing away from the snuggly goodness of my roaring wood stove. With the chilly, sparkling vista before me, it's slightly difficult for me to imagine a lush green garden, complete with just the perfect temperature and humidity, for a peaceful stroll down a perfectly designed, wooded path lined with colorful flowers and serenaded by a majestic waterfall in the distance. If I dwell on the thought long enough, I might also be able to see a bench in the garden, waiting for me underneath an expansive shade tree and open to the widest view. Despite the extra strain on my imagination to concoct such a place in the middle of a Maine winter, I know the investment of time to get to the garden in my mind is worth it. Worth every second, because I can leave all my distractions, fears, and worries far behind for a few precious minutes and focus on the most important thing in my life. Most of all, it is worth it because of who I'm meeting in the garden, and because he and I have a standing appointment every morning with additional meetings scattered throughout the rest of the day. I've written about heaven before, and while it's a place we should contemplate often and draw comfort from, it's not a place that we can access or even fathom during our time here on earth. On the other hand, the garden is a place we can get to at any moment from any location. The literal Garden of Eden is long gone from earth, but I believe the existence of it and the fact that we were created for it is emblazoned on our hearts. Our need for time in the garden is interwoven into our souls. Somewhere deep inside of every human is a longing for the garden, almost a kind of knowing that we don't fully belong in our current existence, but rather that we should be dwelling in a deep, abiding fellowship with our Creator. The problem is that most of us have either forgotten how to get to the garden, or are afraid of allowing ourselves to go there, or simply don't make it a priority. We often choose instead to search for a counterfeit garden in our current surroundings, always wandering from valley to mountaintop and back again, only to find ourselves worn out, disappointed, and pondering why we cannot secure real peace, lasting happiness, or authentic contentment. We have yet to realize that only in the true garden can we experience the wonder of being simultaneously on the mountaintop while walking through the valleys of life. Humankind was created in the garden and initially walked with God side by side in unbroken fellowship. We know this because Adam and Eve were clearly familiar with God's arrival in the garden in Genesis 3:8, and the previous chapters also make it clear that God had given them instructions and direction for daily living. But when they chose to trust in their own wisdom and defy God's request, they could no longer exist in the presence of his pure perfection and holiness. Forevermore, sin would come between the human race and its creator unless atonement was made. Humanity may have been escorted out of the garden, but the longing for the garden has never been removed from our hearts. In addition to the Garden of Eden, it's not a coincidence that scriptures repeatedly mention gardens, both as literal places of great significance and as spiritual metaphors. Many of the Old Testament prophets used gardens as analogies for God's restoration of his people following their repentance. For example, in Isaiah 58:11, just before his crucifixion, Jesus sought his Father's help in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane in John 18, 1-2, and then he triumphed in victory over sin and death as he was resurrected in the Garden of Golgotha in John 19:41. Finally, we will experience God's forever garden, paradise, when he returns for us as prophesied in Revelation 2:7. Astoundingly, we will be given access to the Tree of Life, which was originally established in the Garden of Eden. Over and over throughout the Bible, we are reminded that God created us for garden living, and through the sacrifice and atonement of Jesus, we can accept his personal invitation that beckons us, "Come to the garden, my beloved, come." When we spend time with God in prayer, studying and meditating on the Word, and practicing being still before him in adoration and submission, we enter into the garden. One of my favorite hymns captures the essence of this invitation to us, and it has an interesting backstory. The hymn's writer, C. Austin Miles, was a gospel singer and music publisher by trade, but one of his greatest passions was photography and developing his own images. One day in March 1912, he was waiting on some of his images to develop in his basement darkroom, so he passed the time by reading the Gospel of John. When he came to chapter 20, he began to let himself vividly imagine what it must have been like to be with Mary when she came to the garden the morning of Jesus' resurrection. As he imagined what his own words might be to the Savior, he was overcome with such emotion that he later said his hands and arms were trembling as he gripped his Bible. His real words came easily after that, and right there in a cold, dark basement with not even a window, he penned the lyric for In the Garden. Miles once said of the popular hymn, "This is not an experience limited to happening almost 2,000 years ago. It is the daily companionship with the Lord that makes up the Christian's life." The other truth that overwhelms me about the story behind this hymn is the incredible role that Miles' imagination played as he read John 20. Jesus calls us to love God with all of our hearts, minds, and souls in Matthew 22:37. And to endeavor to love him in that way, we must be vulnerable and open to using all of our faculties to encounter him and get to know him better. We cannot love someone if we don't intimately know them. The invitation from Jesus goes way beyond envisioning yourself in the garden. It beckons you to find yourself in him. Everything about yourself, what you're made of, your dreams, your identity, your very life, all found in Jesus. As I ponder the hymn and listen to my favorite rendition of it, the words of its writer echo in my heart and mind and remind me that Jesus is waiting and whispering to me, "Come to the garden, my beloved. Put that distraction down and spend your time more wisely with me. Don't wrestle with that hard stuff by yourself over there. Come here with me instead. The empty thrills you're seeking can never compare to the depth of my love and the satisfaction of spending time with me." Perhaps the most amazing thing about the garden of prayer is that the gate into it is open 24 hours a day. Sometimes we are only able to linger there in short intervals, perhaps in the middle of a hectic workday or when taking a quick breath during a difficult conversation. Other times we may rest in his presence for hours, wishing that moments like these would never end. Regardless of the amount of time, he just wants us to keep coming back consistently so we grow to be completely dependent on him as our primary source of strength, peace, hope, and joy. God intends for every day of our lives to include a garden experience, and he takes delight when we show up. But like anything worth doing, the depth of our experience will take a lot of practice and mental discipline. For the longest time, I just expected to feel transported into God's presence from the moment my lips uttered, "Dear God," at the beginning of my prayer time. But being in the garden with Jesus isn't contingent upon anything I say. In fact, there are times when the Holy Spirit impresses upon me to say absolutely nothing. No, being in the garden is much more about what we do with our hearts and minds. It's about a complete surrender of our wills, agendas, desires, fears, and worries. When we enter the garden with open hands and a receptive heart, there is no telling where he will lead us along the path of prayer and deeper into his presence. In the garden, anything is possible. Thanks for listening to the Glimmers in the Fog podcast today. If you enjoyed this, I would love it if you would share it with family and friends and anyone you know who might be encouraged by this type of podcast. You can also send them over to my blog and have them sign up for my email list. Every person that comes and follows really helps me out, and I appreciate it so much. Thank you for being a faithful listener.